Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Who can resist South Dakota in the summer when the sky stretches blue and the sweet clover blossoms? SDPB's Kevin Wooster writes about the life and death of journalist and teacher Jomay Steen on his blog. On the other hand, you can find it online at sdpb.org/Wooster. Hey, Kevin, welcome back.
It's great to be back, Lori. Hey, before we move on to Jomay, which I'm looking forward to, Lloyd Cunningham. I'm so excited to follow Lloyd. I worked with him for, you know, quite a few years down at the Argus, and he was a wonderful photographer, but he was, I'm not surprised that he ended up writing a book, because he was also a really consistent reporter himself, and he was always so helpful to me as a reporter, to other reporters, because he was inquisitive. He was engaging with people, chatty, and he was interested in whatever assignment we were on. Mm-hmm. And there were times when I could just stand back and kind of take notes, and Lloyd would do the interview. He was so fascinated by whatever was going on and knowledgeable a lot of things. So I was surprised initially when I heard about his book project, and then I thought, well, that's not surprising at all. He's the kind of guy that would come up with that. Plus, I knew his love for Okoboji, and I knew his diving, and he'd actually talked to me over the years about the boat. And do I remember correctly that the boat or parts of it are still down there? You can scuba down to it?
I don't know if you can. He said that one of the headlights in the book, he didn't say in the interview, but one of the headlights, that, you know, those sort of bug headlights, is missing in what they recovered. So it might be down at the bottom. The people were clinging to it as it sunk, and it was, right, it was up in the air with the light flashing at the sky, and then it was gone. I don't know if you can dive to see it or not. Yeah.
Apparently there are other boats that went down, not as, you know, tragically, and he has told me about, he goes pretty deep over there too sometimes, as I recall. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so, an adventurer. Underwater photography too.
Oh, he is, yeah.
And here's what one of the things I really like about that is that interview was he brought out, you can really hear Lloyd talking about the spelling of people's names in journalism and how important it is and how often, like there was not, he said there was not a single published list of the nine people, mind you, that's not a huge list. Not one of them had all their names correct on it at the time. Yeah. And putting those pieces together, how often he heard that people were damaged by that, the love, the person that you love, the reporter couldn't even get their name right.
Yeah. And that was another thing he paid attention to as a photographer. It was rare for him to have to come to the reporter and ask for name spelling, because he was very careful about it getting that information on the assignment.
So. Yeah. Let's talk about another Argus leader and Rapid City Journal reporter, Jomay Steen. Yeah. And as I said her name out loud, I realize I don't know how to pronounce it. I've never met her, but I always remember reading her. And so I'm glad that I got it right, that it is Jomay.
You did. Yeah.
And she passed away just recently.
She did on the 10th, and it was very sudden, and word traveled quickly, and in the group, because word travels quickly now on social media, and I'd sort of lost touch with Jomay personally on a personal contact face to face when she left Rapid City a few years back, but we stayed in touch on Facebook, as she did with many people, and you know, it was very obviously very sad. She was 61, which these days is pretty young. And as you and I touched on, it's kind of it falls on you as a person at 67 who starts to lose people more often. There's kind of a responsibility and plus a desire to say something about them, hopefully something to mean something to the family and friends. So what, I went up there.
What does mean something to family and friends? What do they want to see about someone like Jomay? Is it her joy? Is it her career? What resonates for them?
Well, when I first heard about it, I wrote a little Facebook tribute that included the episode of that I remembered an image of her in a big American-made pickup. I think it was a Chevy, older model, that she drove to Sioux Falls when she was working there, and that she would drive back to Faith to see family on weekends and holidays and things. And as I was going to the parking lot, I saw her pull out of there in that big pickup. She had to, kind of stretch to see over the steering wheel, so she kind of looked through it a lot of the time. And then vroom, was making a noise, and she roared up the stop sign. And literally, it was like she was throwing something out the window, but it was a wave. She threw her hand up off the steering wheel, out the window, never looked at me, and laughed. You could hear her laughing a greeting to me. I don't even know if there was a word in it. But and that was so Joe May, and so many people commented on that, how many times they've seen that kind of, you know, she would speak and giggle at the same time sometimes, you know, in her sentence, there was laughter. And those are one of the things that stand out. And that's one of the things everybody in town was talking about. You know, it's a town of 400 some people. And she grew up there on a homestead, family homestead, a few miles outside of town of, you know, the family of Norwegian and Lakota ancestry. And boy, she did a lot over the years in terms of connectiveness of races and people that really mattered a lot, I think.
It's such a beautifully written blog post, and I know that's not what you want to focus on. You want to focus on her, but taking the time to craft it as you do. And one of the things that just resonates with me is this sense that she was traveling South Dakota on this sort of rural experience that we can all relate to on her last day. There's just a lot of comfort in that.
You know, there certainly is for me and the family. I talked to the family about it up there, and they said the same thing, family and friends, you know, all hurt, wounded by the tragic loss of someone they love, but also comforted in a way by the fact that she was with her cousins when she died and her sister. I mean, she had been touring with her cousin Kathleen and Kathleen's husband Wayne, and they came into town for a lunch downtown at the two-hour bar and grill, and where they go, you know, often. And Luann, Joe May's sister, joined them there for this lunch, and she was happy. I went into the 2R and talked to them when I was up there about it, and went to the coffee shop, kind of a do-all shop where she went, that has a coffee shop where she collapsed. And the family believes things were over very quickly, and that... you know, she was laughing and had visited places and ranches in the country and the beautiful landscape that she loved and was doing exactly what she wanted to do just moments before death. So there is comfort in that.
And let's talk some more about this idea of feeling the sense that there is a responsibility to put some of those things in words and writing, even in some... Do you ever just want to walk away from that and say, I can't?
I think, and, you know, like I said, as I got past 50, if there was a person of note, a politician at the paper I was working for at the time, it sort of more and more started to say Worcester knew him or covered them, so he should probably do something. So there was that in a professional sense. And now, of course, if you're lucky enough to live, you know, to 67 and who knows beyond that, but more people, you lose more people that you care about and that you knew. And sometimes you really don't feel like that. You don't feel like I have to come up with something, even though I don't, maybe may not feel inspired, but it's important. Back when I was at the Artist in the 90s, Jack Marsh, I think, started something called Personal Obituary, which... we had one in the obituary page every day, and reporters rotated. And it was, rather than just the obituary, we would pick one and make calls on it and do something on this person in a story sense. Some reporters didn't like it. I really did like it. It was difficult sometimes to call people who had lost someone recently, you know, very recently, maybe sometimes even a child, which was very, very hard, yet people would talk about it. And I think that personal bit experience kind of helped me see the importance of, as I say, putting a period on people's lives. It's an honor, really, to get to do that. And if you know that person and you loved or cared about that person, it's a particular honor and responsibility. And yeah, sometimes a little bit of a burden, but one that you certainly don't want to turn away from.
You can read about Joe May Steen on Kevin Wooster's blog. It's called On the Other Hand, and you can find it at sdpb.org/Wooster. And go outside and enjoy those things that matter to you here in the summer in South Dakota. Kevin, thank you so much. We appreciate our conversations very much every week.
Okay. Talk to you soon.